Okay, I'm going to start out with the revelation here, and then study a lot of word. James Graham sent this revelation to Rob Miller and myself, and it seems to be about CERN, and we called it CERN's evil intent. So I'm going to share this revelation with you. James said, I was given a downward view of a Caucasian man involved in a single car accident. I didn't actually see him hit or otherwise get struck with anything. Well, you know, the collider supports invisible collisions that cannot be seen by the naked eye. But he went on to say, but apparently the interior of the vehicle must have been on fire. Somehow the man was launched through the rear windshield of the car, and he was writhing in agony from burning. Although, interestingly, I did not observe any flames on him, just some smoke coming off of his head. Well, the man may just represent the body of scientists who get damaged in their attempt to reach the dark side, as they're clearly trying to do. Rob said, when this dream first came to me on Wednesday night during the Bible study, I planned on working on it after the study, but Father had other plans and didn't allow me to get to it until the next day. After, he said to me in my mind that James's dream is about CERN, which was not what I first thought the dream was about. What you're seeing is an accident at CERN as its collider reaches 4 trillion degrees Celsius when collisions occur, although there is no physical fire present, so that kind of explains that situation. And he gives a link here to go and look at that, study that, which I'm not going to go into. But when we post it, you can look at it yourself. And Rob went on to say, the man launched through his rear window represents their desire to go back in time or a parallel universe. And he gives another link here explaining that. This Caucasian man could represent some Christians marked in spirit but have not yet come out of the world, but like many are still marked in soul and flesh, walking with their mind on earthly things. And many of these will represent those to whom the abomination of desolation occurs. And he gives a verse, Philippians 3:17-19. Brethren, be ye imitators together of me, and mark them that so walk, even as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is perdition, whose God is the belly, and whose glory is their shame, and who mind earthly things. Yes, and my thought is that better to have the mark of God in the forehead of the mind of the spirit than to have the mark of the beast in the forehead of the mind of the flesh, which Paul said is death. Men do many things, you know, for glory, for curiosity, whatever, and mostly motivated by the devil, who wants to be the god of this world, right? And James went on to say, this is where it starts to get bizarre. In the scene that followed, someone was interviewing this guy while he was lying in a hospital bed. And I noticed that his brain was sitting on top of his head, and it was probably 20 times the size of a normal brain, but it didn't really look like a brain. Although it was pinkish in color and it did not have the form of a brain, and it looked like some of the convolutions in the brain actually became detached and were hanging from this man's massive brain. The brain that's outside the head, right? I then heard him comment something to the effect that the doctors, or scientists, James writes, have taught it, that is the brain, he writes, that it could function outside, meaning outside of his body. And this is where Rob says, quantum computing with artificial intelligence is the goal of many men on this earth in these last days. And he gives a link for that too. You can go and study it. They attempt to create intelligence smarter than man that sits outside man's body. Amen. Genesis 11:6, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is what they begin to do. And now, nothing will be withholden from them, which they suppose to do, or purpose to do. And Daniel 12:4 says, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, you'll notice that what James was saying there was that the artificial brain is above the natural brain on this man. This is where mankind is going, to be ruled over by computers in the hands of the elite, and the natural brain becoming disconnected and useless. It's kind of like kids trained to use calculators instead of their head, and so their head becomes useless when they don't have a calculator, you know. So anyway, that's the way it is. They want to rule everything. And that's the devil's desire in these men, is to rule over mankind as the head, much similar to Christ being the head of his body. Satan wants to be the head of his body. And of course, he wants us all to be members of his body, right? At one point, while this man was being interviewed, I caught a quick glance of a baby boy who was olive in color, wrapped in a light blue swaddling blanket on the upper left of his pillow. Well, that would be right next to his head, right? Well, the baby boy in blue represents Jesus manifested in the heavenly man-child, who is coming to lead the church with the mind of the Spirit. And he's laying beside the artificial brain to show us that we have a choice here about who to follow, the man-child or the beast. That's the choice. The mind of the flesh or the mind of the Spirit. Who will you follow? Well, everybody's going to fall into one of these camps. The mind of the beast, the mind of the Spirit. The body of the beast, the body of the Spirit. The mark of the beast will identify who are the members of the body of the beast. Doesn't matter if they call themselves Christians, if they walk in the flesh, they must die because they are members of the body of the beast. And I got to tell you, many Christians are. It appears from the scriptures that only one out of four will actually go on to bear fruit. And Rob said, I believe this is a warning dream for the body that we are on the cusp of the tribulation, as CERN has lied about their power levels that they will try to achieve in November. He gives a link about that. And they've been watched pretty closely by a lot of people. I'm not one of them. I'm not watching it very closely because I'm not all that concerned about it. My main concern is that men learn how to walk after the mind of the Spirit so that they're not controlled by the beast, right? And Rob said, very interesting video that provides some very good facts, though I do not endorse all of this woman's teachings. And then there's a link there, too. And that's the video that I watched. And this video clearly shows the evil intent of the sponsors of this experiment with men's lives, right? They're taking a chance. They don't care about blowing up the world. You know, whatever it does, I don't know. But they're taking a chance with men's lives, and it doesn't matter to them. They intend for darkness to conquer light and rule in the earth. And this dream is clear. This will not end good for those who plan and do this work. Now, what is being revealed to me about this is that the devil has not been given authority in this earth unless we give it to him. This is because we have power and we've been given authority through faith. But the problem is most don't agree with this and don't know this. They don't know how important it is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. If a person has the mind of the Spirit, they don't have the mind of the flesh, and they're not really subject to it. And that's why we renew our mind, is so that we're not deceived by these strong delusions that come along. A lot of things that are sent to me concerning this are Christians saying things that are really just strong delusion. This I know. The devil hasn't been given authority. He has to get it from us, since Jesus gave it to us. Matthew 18:18 says, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, he gave that to his disciples. And by the way, when he was leaving his disciples, he told them to go and make disciples and teach them to observe everything that I told you. Because there are people that say, oh, this was just to the apostles. No, Jesus clearly said they were to teach this to us. Give this authority to us. And verse 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. And also Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. He has given this authority to us. So what must the devil do, since God has given us authority over the earth? Well, Adam was given that authority over the earth, and so he had to deceive them out of it. He deceived Eve into following him. His servant you are, whom you obey, the word says. So, when she followed him into sin, she gave him his authority. People do this today. They are giving authority to the beast. How does the beast get that authority? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Because many of the videos you're seeing out there are actually doing their very best to give the devil this authority. So notice, we have authority over his power. Since Jesus said we have authority, Satan has to get us to give it to him by convincing us that he has authority to loose this dark forces on the earth through CERN in order to conquer the light. That's what his purpose is to conquer the light. So he is convincing people that they have this authority. But there's some goofy things going on here that just makes this out to be just a strong delusion. So this, in effect, puts our faith in Him so He can do as He pleases. Yes, when we come into agreement with what He says about what He can do, then we're putting our faith in Him. And that gives Him authority to do what He pleases. He wants to deceive us like He deceived Eve. His servant you are, whom you obey. She obeyed Him, and she became His servant. In effect, Satan is harnessing the faith of Christians in Him so he can be loosed to do his evil work. Matthew 5 and 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thence good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. So, what is salt to the earth? Well, it's a preservative. We are put here to bring preservation to the earth. And if we don't do that, then we're going to be trodden under the foot of men. And the outer court of the temple in Revelation 11 was trodden under the foot of men. And the outer court represents the flesh, those who walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And so, walking in the Spirit, how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, first of all, we can't believe what men believe nor say what men say if we want to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, first of all, you have to have a renewed mind, which is an agreement with the Word of God. When you agree with the Word of God, for instance, that we have authority and we have power, and the devil wants to steal that just like he did with Adam and Eve. There's no new tricks with him. It's all the same old stuff. When we realize that, we can begin to know it's very important to agree with God in our hearts and to confess God with our mouth. And Christians in many videos are working to put fear in God's people that these men have authority to loose Satan and his demons on us. Now, if we believe this, we are loosing Satan and his minions on us because we have lost our salt. He doesn't have that authority. He has to get it from us. So, what we must do is spoil their party and bind them from loosing this darkness and instead cast down their evil authority over us. Notice that God, through Christ, will use the saints and secondarily the angels to cast down Satan and his angels, according to Revelation 12 and 7. And there was war in heaven. Now remember, this is after the tribulation started. The man-child took the woman into the wilderness to teach her for 3.5 years, and then we see this war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels. Some people say the devil's demons are not angels, but the Bible says they are. They're the fallen angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And that makes us, of course, not of this world, right? We are born from heaven, and they are from beneath, as Jesus said. Okay. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. Now has come, because Satan is cast down. He's no longer the prince of the power of the air. That's not that he can't do a lot of dirt on earth. I mean, he is supposed to get those that are his, but he's not supposed to get those who are the Father's. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they, that is the saints, overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. Now let's explain that just a little bit. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of the blood of the Lamb, we've received his nature and no longer our own. We are crucified with Christ, and it's now no longer we that live, but him that lives in us, right? And that's all because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of the blood of the Lamb, we've been given authority to walk in his steps. And because of the word of their testimony, our confession or our testimony has to be in agreement with him. How can two walk together except they be agreed? If we walk in his steps and agree with him, Satan has no part in us. And because they love not their life even unto death. That's, of course, all disciples of Christ are called upon to lose their life in this world. That is their lower life. That is their carnal life. And if we don't do that, we can't bear fruit. And we can't be his disciples, according to what he said. Okay, so this is clear. Who it is that's going to cast down Satan? Their plan is to bring Satan on this earth. I'm talking about the elite, who are Satanists. Their plan is to bring Satan's authority and power and dominion over the earth. Because they've been made promises by him, none of which he will keep. Anyway, you know, Satan and his angels don't need any portal to come to earth. He is the prince of the powers of the air, which is in the first heaven surrounding the earth. And he and his minions are here now. Can't you tell? Have any of you cast out demons? Where did you cast them out of? People. They're here now. And those who do cast out demons in obedience to Jesus' command and the Great Commission, they know this. They know he's here. Why does he need a portal to get here, for goodness sake? The devil travels freely from the spirit realm into the physical realm. He travels freely. There is nothing to stop him except us and except God in us. We have the authority to say no to the devil ever since Jesus lost his life on the cross. We've had the authority to say no. He said, "Consider yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Consider it done." Since Jesus died on the cross to make reconciliation and to give us his life and to take our old fallen life and nail it on that cross, that reconciliation means an exchange. And since he's made that exchange, the devil has no authority. He has to get it from us. You see, Jesus, who was the last Adam, didn't give up his authority because he gave in to Satan, you see. Adam did give in to Satan and lost his authority, but Jesus was tempted and he overcame and therefore had the right to pass this on to his children. What did Adam, the first Adam, pass on to his children? Sin and death. So, Jesus said to Peter, who was tempted personally by Satan, just as Eve was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Would you say to Jesus, "You must be mistaken, Jesus. Satan's not here. There's no portal here yet." When did he ever need a portal to come through and pass through to earth? No. No such thing. That is a strong delusion. It's It's to put an imagination in your mind that Satan has authority over you. Now, he has authority over all those that obey him. And the only thing we can do about that is to share the gospel with them. And if they believe the gospel, they can come out from under that authority and out from under the curse. There's no other way for them to come out from under Satan and out from under the curse than for them to believe the gospel. Now, what I'm sharing with you today here is the gospel. It's the good news. Many Christians don't know the good news and don't obey the good news and don't take their position over Satan. They don't think it's even possible to rule over Satan. Well, you know, I don't know how much. I mean, we have a prayer meeting almost every morning but one. And we all get words, get dreams, whatever, many of which are just warnings from the Lord to tell us what is Satan's plan so that we can cast it down, so that we can change situations around us. And we can do that because we know we have authority over him. In our daily walk, this has to become a revelation. How do we take it out of the heavenlies and put it in the physical? How do we manifest this authority? Well, when we believe that we are who God says we are, and we can do what God says we can do. Until then, you're not going to walk in the Spirit. You're not going to overcome the devil. You're not going to overcome the curse. Forget about the portal. That's ridiculous stuff. However, when men work so hard to bring Satan's dominion here, God obliges them, and they get their fill of him, because they have chosen Satan over God. He obliges them. Not that their method is anything that God does anything but snicker about. You know, their attempts. You'll notice that the man in the dream was scorched because he sought to loose Satan. The portal thing is a strong delusion to convince men to have faith so that they can loose the forces of darkness. We have to have faith that these people are able to do this. They have to convince us. Sinful thinking already loosed Satan and his demons. It's already loosed him. And, of course, if we believe what the Bible says, we believe in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that he gave us authority over Satan, then we can just simply say no. Now, that no counts for us. It doesn't necessarily count for the world. We offer to the world this gift by sharing with them the gospel, but they don't all take it. Because they don't all see it as good news. They don't want to lose their life. But when God gives them a gift of faith and repentance, they do. They receive the gospel. They receive the simple gospel. The gospel, you know, necessitates more study. A renewing of our mind with the Word of God. So that we can be transformed. Into what? Into a Son of God. One who does what Jesus did. And that is what? Take authority over the devil. The devil tried to tempt Jesus that he had authority over him, and he cast down his authority. He didn't believe it. He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So, you have to be careful what you believe. If you believe in the world, the curse, the devil, and their authority over you, you are not going to walk in the Spirit. You're not going to partake of the benefits of the kingdom of God. We have to be careful what we believe. Matthew 8 and 13 says, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And the servant was healed in that hour. Well, notice, the centurion believed God, and he got healing. Some believe in the curse, and that's what they get. Because Jesus said, as you have believed, so shall it be done unto you. So we have to be careful what we believe and how we believe it. We have to be careful to believe exactly what the Bible says, exactly what Jesus said, exactly what Jesus was offering. He was offering healing. The centurion got it because he believed in healing. There are people that don't believe in healing. What do they get? Nothing. They get what? The devil ruling over them through the curse and sickness. So what can we do for the people of the world? Nothing, unless they believe the gospel. We're sent to find out who it is that belongs to Jesus Christ. He that's of God hears the words of God. So, the centurion believed God. He came out from under the curse. He got the healing that he was believing for. And many others today, they believe in the curse. They believe that that's all they can have. That's what their preachers have told them. And they believe them rather than God. That's a test. The same test was in Jesus' day. The Pharisees, Sadducees, they taught all kinds of things, and Jesus came with superior knowledge and understanding to give to all those that were of God. Matthew 9:29, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done unto you. According to your faith. It's important what you believe and how you believe it. We know that if we add to the Word of God, He will add to us the curses written in the book. And if we take away from the Word of God in our thinking and in our speech, He will take away our part of the tree of life. So that should put the fear of God in everyone to read and study the Bible every day and not let their natural thoughts, their natural ambitions rule over the Bible. Let the Bible be yes. Let God be true and every man a liar, including our old man, right? Notice that Jesus said that however you believe, you will receive it. He said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. So, if your faith is in the devil, it's still going to be done unto you. If your faith is in the world, that's what you're going to have to put up with. But let the wicked believe Satan is loosed on them, not us. We know what God said. We are the ones that have dominion. That dominion that Adam had before he fell, we have that dominion now. And so let them believe that. Then we can share the gospel with them, that he is bound and we are free because of the blood of the Lamb. This casts down his authority. Colossians 1:13 says, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. So why do we have to worry about, even if the devil did come through a portal? We don't have to, but that's kind of silliness because he's here already. But if they can convince you that he's going to come through a portal and exercise authority over you, then, and you're convinced of that, you have given the devil his authority. Mordecai and Esther were in the King of Kings' house exercising authority. And they told the people to stand for their lives. They gave them authority to stand for their lives. They gave them authority from the king. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm telling you, I'm giving you authority from the King of Kings that you can stand for your life. In that case, it was against Haman's edict, and they did, and they escaped. They had a Purim, right? Oh, hallelujah. So, why do you think the elite have to tell us what they're going to do? to tell us what they're going to do to us before they do it. I mean, this has been said so much, you know. It has nothing to do with honor, contrary to their lies. They have to tell us what they're going to do because their Lord, Satan, demands this of them, so that you will know and fear this thing as something that is coming, because then you've given him authority. That's why they do it. Fear is faith in Satan. Fear is faith in the curse. And it's always rewarded, because be it unto you according to your faith, right? I remember Job said in Job 3:25, "For the thing which I fear cometh upon me, and that which I am afraid of cometh unto me." Think about it. Fear is faith. It's just faith in reverse. So why are we worried that these people can loose Satan on the earth or his demons upon the earth? Well, certain people have had manifestations of demons because they worked around this thing and, you know, dealt with the dark matter and so on. Listen, it's a delusion. Satan always tries to deceive us that he has authority. And this is just another time of many times that he's done this. It's a delusion. But Jesus bore the curse for those who believe. The curse is what the devil administers whenever we believe in him and we don't believe that Jesus bore the curse. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's the only curse. The curse of the law is the curse that comes upon man because they've broken God's law. Let's just make it simple. Having become a curse for us, Jesus became a curse for us. For it's written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." This is the curse of sin. It's the curse of sickness. It's the curse of circumstances. It's everything contrary and detrimental to man is the curse. The short list is Deuteronomy 28. And those who do not believe, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian, doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God who took away your sins. If you do not believe what I'm telling you here, which is clearly spoken by Jesus, you don't get it. Or if you walk in willful disobedience, you have to bear the curse of whatever kind it is. Hebrews 10:26 says, "If we sin willfully, after that we received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire, which shall devour the adversaries." So, you not only don't get delivered of the curse, you get the curse poured out on you when you walk in willful disobedience. Contrary to popular opinion about the blood covering everything, covering all of your sins. Not true. Doesn't say it in the Bible nowhere. It says just the opposite. Sins of ignorance? Yes, the blood covers. Sins of failure? Yes, the blood covers it. Sins of willful disobedience, stubborn rebellion against God? No, the blood doesn't cover it. You have to pay for that. Well, I liken it to what was said to David, you know, when he repented for his actions with Bathsheba. And he was told, "The Lord has put away your sin, but that the curse wasn't going to depart from his house." And it didn't. As you know, his own sons rose up against him, and it became a curse unto him. So, the people that are making a lot of these videos out there are telling you what is their plan and what they are planning to do, and And if they're permitted to continue, and if we can't talk them out of it, or if we can't stop them, this is what they're going to do. Well, of course, we can't stop them. And what they plan to do has nothing to do with what they're able to do. They can put on a show. They can cause devastation, destruction. There's no doubt in my mind. But they don't have authority to loose Satan. We've got the authority to do that. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Jesus gave us this authority. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Authority is the right to use power. We have the right to use the enemy's power. Paul even turned men over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. He used the enemy's power to chasten men. Paul loosed the curse on men who were in willful rebellion. So we have authority over the power that the devil and his minions exercise. We have authority. Luke 6 and 45 says, "The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." Okay, so, when we receive fruit of the Word of God in our heart, the one who stands up in us is Jesus Christ. Paul called this revelation, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And he said that we grow from glory to glory into his image, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. We all with an unveiled face, if you do have an unveiled face, because you do believe the word, if you have this unveiled face, we all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Now the devil really wants to stop this. One Jesus was enough for him. You know, but he's coming in his body. And it's called in the scripture the epiphany. That is the shining forth from. And he wants to stop this at all costs. He has to deceive you into believing that he has authority over you. And if not, you will whoop him. And he knows it. Because we have dominion over him given by the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who didn't give up his authority to the devil, but passed it on to his children, of whom we are if we believe him. Right? So, a good man out of his good treasure, of his heart. And what is that in there, that good treasure? We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. What is this treasure? It is the gospel. It is the renewed mind of the Spirit. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. The devil will have no dominion over you if the truth sets you free, if you believe the truth. You must spend enough time in the Word to overcome what's already in your mind. Many people spend so little time in the Word, they immediately default to their old thought life, which is human. But it's not a son of God. Okay? So, of course we have no authority over him when we think the way men think. And men who don't have, who have never walked in this authority, have taken authority over the church. They've gone to Bible school. They've been educated by fallen men with wicked thoughts. Just like in Jesus' day, because the things that have been are the things that will be. And they're deceiving God's people, just like in Jesus' day. But the church was the called out ones. They came out from those evil denominations and followed the Lord Jesus in believing exactly what he said. They made him their Lord, and he made them his disciples. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now, you want to loose the devil? Just let the mind of the flesh speak. You will loose the devil. You give him authority. And he knows that. So he tempts us. He speaks to us. He wants us to believe what he says, just like he deceived Eve. And Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." If you don't believe the word of God, you're not going to be called righteous by the Lord. Abraham believed God was able to give him fruit. And the Lord did that. And he was called righteous because of that. Do you believe the Lord can give you fruit, even though you are unable in yourself to do this, as Abraham was unable, and Sarah also, totally unable. Unable to bear fruit. We are too. But he believed God, and God did it for him. So with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Do you believe you have authority over the devil? Do you believe that anything they do over there with CERN is going to convince you that the devil has authority over you? Do you believe that? Well, you're not righteous before the Lord. You're calling God a liar. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Confession, homo legeo, to speak the same as. Say what God says about you, and you will be saved. And this word salvation, soteria, it covers many things, not just the salvation of your soul. So to saved covers many things, everything that has to do with God, godliness, life, everything. So we confess unto salvation. We believe in our heart and we confess unto salvation. Do you confess that you have authority over the devil? He has no authority over you. He'll try hard, even though you say that. He'll try to get you off of that because he knows you're going to conquer him. So be careful what you believe and what you say. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now people scoff at that, just like it's not the word of God. Remember, don't add to or take away from the word of God. God spoke this. The scoffers, he doesn't agree with them. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The fruit of what? The fruit of the tongue, whether it's death or whether it's life. And Matthew 12:36 says, "And I say unto you, every idle," which is also the word unfruitful, "every idle or unfruitful word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Well, do you think CERN could loose a day of judgment? Well, certainly it could. I don't know what it could do. I just know I'm not under the curse, so I'm not worried about it. I am worried about it for other people that I know haven't fully accepted the gospel. And of course, I want to preach to them the gospel. They will give account for their idle words in the day of judgment. Judgment will catch them because their words are not fruitful words. Your tongue must bear the fruit of your thoughts, which must bear the fruit of the Word of God. So, when men speak idle words, giving the devil authority over their life, giving the curse authority over their life, they give account in the day of judgment. Hosea 4:6. The Lord's people are destroyed for lack of understanding and speaking and acting on it. So Romans 3:4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, accounted righteous in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. So when you come into judgment and you're justified, you got no problem. If judgment is loosed on the earth and you're not justified, you got a problem. Because it's going to take you. See, God has done it this way in order to show us the way to purity and righteousness and Christlikeness. And it is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. He is motivating us to renew our mind or else live under the curse. Remember, who is it that the Lord is coming for? The Bible says, those who have loved His appearing. How do we love His appearing? Christ in you, the hope of glory. They have loved to have the manifestation of Christ in them. They've loved His appearing. And Jesus said, no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man. And who is in heaven is not in the original, because He was standing right there in front of him. And it wasn't in the original. It has no numeric pattern. But think about what He said. No one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven. Who is Jesus? The Word made flesh. Who are we to be? The Word made flesh. Who is that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We must agree with the Word. We must come into the renewed mind of Jesus Christ. We won't have any problem with the beast if we do that. We will escape judgment because we are justified in our words. James 3:2 says, for in many things we all stumble. If any stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man. Why? Because his thoughts, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and his thoughts must be pure, because now he's speaking words that give maturity and perfection to him and bless everything around him. The same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. If you don't stumble in your words, you can bridle your body. Your words have power. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Your words have power. Confess your dominion over Satan and the curse through Jesus Christ. Confess that He bore the curse for you, no matter what it might mean. I mean, you don't have any problems except the curse, you understand, right? So if you use the power that the Lord has given you over the curse and over the devil, then you're blessed. That's what blessed is. So if you don't stumble in your words, you bridle the whole body. People say they can't control their body. They say they're always going to be a sinner, saved by grace. A lie. Again, they're loosing the devil. They're speaking the death on themselves. Words in line with the Word bring the body to obedience. And this is bearing the fruit of Jesus, who is the Word. And verse 3 says, now if we put horses' bridles into their mouths, that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. And he's talking about the tongue again. Turn a great big horse with that bridle. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, yet are turned about by a very small rudder. This is the power of the tongue he's talking about. by a very small rudder, whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. So, if you will steer your tongue, you will turn about your whole body. And what is turning about the body to make it follow Jesus? It's fruit. It's fruit. It's the fruit of the Word in you. It is Christ in you. So the tongue also is a little member, and boasteth of great things. Behold how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. So even though the tongue is small, it can turn about the ship, it can also burn it down. And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members is the tongue. Oh, it's very dangerous, very destructive, which defileth the whole body. See, not only can it turn your body around, it can defile it. I know people that all they speak out of their mouth is that the curse has come upon them. They do not believe the gospel, and therefore cannot have it. They confess the curse all the time, and defileth the whole body, which could also mean the corporate body. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. People who speak lies, like many of the preachers in the pulpits, are defiling that body that trusts in them, which is their first mistake. And setteth on fire the wheel of nature, or cycle of life. And I've likened it to be sowing and reaping. You sow with the tongue. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, he sowed with his words. And what you sow, you reap. If you sow good things, you reap good things. You sow bad things, you reap bad things. It's the cycle of life. And when the tongue sets on fire your cycle of life, it is set on fire by hell. Why? Because the devil wants you to serve him with your tongue, to give him dominion with your tongue. Many children grow up with rejection and unforgiveness. And because a parent didn't love and encourage them. And this is true of friends and wives and husbands and etc. Verse 7 says, "For every kind of beasts and birds, of creeping things and things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame." Man can't tame the tongue. God can tame the tongue. That's why you exercise faith in Him. It is a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. People don't realize that they're killing themselves with their tongues. They will die if they let their tongue agree with what they see in the world instead of walk by faith in God's Word and speak what God's Word says. They will die. And they will die with no more fruit than they have when they die. "Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men who are made after the likeness of God." Now I'm sure some people think that this is talking about speaking curses at people, you know. But cursing men with our words is not often perceived as that. Anything you speak that's contrary to the Word of God manifests as a curse. We need to be justified in our words so that when we come into judgment, we will escape. What we say must promote the kingdom of God. So, verse 10 says, "Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Let the fountain send forth the same from the same opening sweet water and bitter. Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a vine figs?" neither can salt water yield sweet. Our heart and our tongue must bear the fruit of the Word, who is Jesus. We are coming into His likeness through the fruit of His Word. In the parable of the sower, we're shown that one out of four who hear the Word bear the fruit of the Word. And at least three of those four are clearly God's people. When Jesus explained the parable in Matthew 13 and 19 on down, I want to read that. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, this word of the kingdom obviously is including what we're talking about today, this authority that we have over the devil, over the curse, over sin. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. This is he that was sown by the wayside. The wayside is, I believe, where a lot of seed goes out. It's not to people in the way. Okay, the wayside, right? But now, the next three are all people who have received the seed. Hear the seed, receive the seed, but don't necessarily understand it. Now, let me say that this first group right here was also spoken about by Jesus when he spoke of the Pharisees and the Sadducees not understanding. He said, because unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. The Lord had reprobated them. They couldn't receive and manifest the fruit of the Word. They couldn't. That's a gift from God. So, they were not the people of God. The Lord said, I'll call them my people which were not my people. And he was talking about the Jews being broken off of their olive tree and the Gentiles being grafted into their olive tree, which is what the Bible says. Again, we must not add to or take away from what the Bible says. And so, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in their heart. They don't understand it, because they give a lot of weight to what they've been taught, to what mom and daddy taught them, what was passed on to them naturally speaking, what the lost men have told them. They put a lot of weight on that and not any weight on what God says. And that was certainly the Pharisees of Jesus' day and our day. It's just not been given to them to understand. And the devil takes away what word is sown in their heart. He takes it away. And that's him that sowed by the wayside. And he that was sown upon rocky places, this is he that heareth the word, and straightway with joy receiveth it. Now we know a lot of people like that. They were just entered the kingdom so joyfully. And sad to say, many of them met with a bunch of Pharisees that they thought might know more than them and listened to what they had to say and fell away. I mean, if you end up in a dead, dull, dry church with no power over Satan and no one preaching to you the gospel that you do have power over Satan and over sin, then you get frustrated after a while and just fall away. And the world's full of people that did this. And you know, Babylon is guilty of the blood of the saints. The harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints. And we're talking about apostate religious organizations and leaders, right? But this person started out right. They hear the word and straightway with joy receiveth it. they don't understand there's a whole lot more word to receive. Don't trust in man. Go straight to the Lord. Go straight to His Word. And you will live. Verse 21 says, "Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while." So, how do you give root to the Word? Well, you exercise it. You use it. See, some people don't ever put the Word to action. Faith without works is dead, right? You have to act on the Word to give it root. You have successes that you lean upon, testimonies that you're able to give to other people when you do the Word, not just hear the Word, deluding yourself, right? So they endure for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the Word, because everything in the world is going to come against the Word. Apostate Christians are the same way. They're going to come against the Word. They're going to try to talk you out of it. Why do you believe that? Well, what are you doing that for? Well, look at this. The world will save you. Go to the world, you know? So, persecution, tribulation, they fall away. Straightway, he stumbleth. Okay, so there's somebody started out right, but fell back into the world. They stumbled. They found out the Word of God wasn't true. Because they didn't believe it. They didn't endure to the end of their trial. Right? And they'll try to tell you, I tried and it didn't work. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that hears the Word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the Word, and he becometh unfruitful. Yeah, he gets all choked out with all these other things that are more important. Remember the excuses we talked about? I've married a wife, can't come to the wedding feast, can't partake of the Word. Bought 5 yoke of oxen, and that's going to keep me busy. So this is all more important than you, Lord. So they get choked out. Because like I said, you've got to put enough of the Word in there to overcome the carnal mind. I know people that are so hungry. They've been in carnal churches, and when they get a little taste of the Word, they get excited, and they sit down for months and don't do anything but study the Word. Well, I did it more than months. I did it for years. But I know people that have just sat down and devoured the Word. And they are so happy. But others got distracted by the world and the things that they thought were more important. And as you remember, the Lord was very angry with them and sent out His servants to gather others to take their place. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the Word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So what is bearing fruit of the Word? It's being a doer of the Word. Your thoughts have to have actions. Faith without works is dead. If you're not able to do the Word, when it says love, then you don't love. These are the only ones that are promised eternal life. They bear the fruit of the Word. 30, 60, and 100. They are promised eternal life. Matthew 7 and 13 says, "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many are they that enter in thereby." Jesus said, "Many are the called, but few are the chosen." And you get called, by the way, after you get saved. Who saved us and called us. Because the calling there is not a calling to the world. It's a calling to the Christians to come and partake, as Jesus sent out his servants to call his people to the marriage feast. And they made excuses. See, the word there is called to. He called those that were already his people to come and partake of the marriage feast because they have been given the benefits of the kingdom. The calling is not to the world, but many are called, but few are chosen. Out of those who are called, out of those who are saved initially, there will be those who are chosen because they bear fruit. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many are they that enter in thereby. Narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life. And few are they that find it. Beware of false prophets. False prophets are used by the devil to cause people to stumble and fall out of the way. They are there to deceive. The Lord said in Deuteronomy that he would test us with false prophets to see if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. He tests us. He lets the devil tempt us. Jesus was led of the devil, or was led of the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, led him to this test. We will be tested. And if we fail, the Lord will offer it to us again and again. And at some point, he will not offer it to us anymore, but will offer it to someone to take our place. Let no man take thy crown. So beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. In other words, they know how to act the act, but they don't know how to walk the walk. But inwardly are ravening wolves. They're there to destroy you. By their fruits you shall know them. Well, let me ask you, do they love the Word? Do they love? Do they forgive? Are they patient? Are they kind? Do they have the fruit? If not, why would you follow them? Don't you know that they're there to lead you astray? Do men gather grapes of thorns? Or figs of thistles? People who are thorny, they're always going to stick you, right? Porcupine Christians, I call them. Get close to them, you're in trouble. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, I know this is a simple message, but believe it or not, people forget these things. A good tree is going to bring forth fruit of the Word. When you learn principles like I was sharing with you concerning the CERN situation. When you learn those principles, you begin to speak, to think, and to walk in the place of Jesus Christ, walking in His steps. Everyone that says that they abide in Him, let them walk as He walked. You begin to walk in His steps. And the devil can do nothing with you. Just like he tempted Jesus and failed, he will tempt you and fail. But you will be tested. You must overcome. There's no promise to anybody that doesn't overcome the devil and tests and tribulations. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So if you look at the fruit, you know you got a bad tree. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So you can't judge by whether somebody says they're a Christian, for goodness sake. You have to judge by their fruit. That is, are they doing the Word of God? Not talking it, doing it. That's fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Amen. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. And there are many who say that. But he said, why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Because that's a lie. If you call Jesus your Lord and you don't do what he says. That's fruit. When you do what he says, that's fruit. Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. We are here to do the will of the Father. People who are distracted by the things of the world, and they don't do the will of the Father, they don't consider that we're all to be disciples, we're all to do his work in one form or another. They don't understand the great commission that was commanded us. And of course, we have to get the board out of our eye so we can see clearly, get the mote out of our brother's eye. Of course, that's the first job Jesus tells us to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? Many people want to be teachers. But James chapter 3 warns them not to be teachers. Be not many of you teachers, for you will receive the heavier condemnation. You must be able to teach what you've experienced. He that overcometh will I give authority. Have they overcome? Are they bearing fruit? They've got no authority unless they're bearing fruit. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons? And by thy name do many mighty works. Well, what they missed out on is it's not the gifts or the powers that gets us into heaven. It's the fruit. It's doing it for yourself. It's doing who Jesus is. It is walking in the Word. Christians seem to have a capacity to ignore the Word, no matter how much of it you give to them. And that's not somebody that's saved. They may have started out that way, but that's not somebody that's going to be saved. They must repent. Because we have to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls, James said. It's able to save our souls. And everybody he was talking to there were God's people. So they were doing mighty works and had powers and so on and so forth, but they were not doing what God showed them was right living. Verse 23, them will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So even though they were doing these things, they got no reward for it because they had no fruit. They were working works of iniquity. Every one, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them, and doeth them, and doeth them, shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And this is, of course, all the tribulations and the trials and the testings that come to see if you've built a decent house. You know? And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these words of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Why do we have to keep hammering this home that God expects us to obey Him. Let me say this. Everybody who believes God will obey Him. Because when you believe God, He gives grace. By grace have you been saved through faith? Have you been saved through faith? And that's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved by your works, you're saved by God's works in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. But if we don't believe Him, He will not strengthen us. What must we do the works of God? They asked Jesus. He said, believe on Him whom He has sent. When you believe on Him, He strengthens you to do His works. That's not your works, that's His works. That is the fruit of believing God. Your works will never get you to heaven. You have no ability to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, right? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon that house. And it fell. And great was the fall thereof. And it, because this is someone who has missed eternal life. And it came to pass, when Jesus has finished these words, that the multitudes were astonished at His teaching. For He taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Okay, so, since we have this authority and we have this power, what should we do with it? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith. So he's talking to believers. Everything that you read here was written to believers. But you know that even a believer has to endure to the end to see the manifestation of his faith. In other words, otherwise he doesn't have any fruit. The fruit of your faith is the answer. What are you asking God for? What is important to you? To some people, things are important to them. Not God Himself. Not God's fruit. Not His manifestation in them. So he's writing to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us in the righteousness of our God and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace be multiplied. Now that's something we really need, grace. We need unmerited favor from God. We need it every day. Well then, he says, this grace and this peace is multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And where do we get knowledge of God? Well, where would we go if we've got a question about God? Where would we go if we want to find out more about it? We would have to go to the Word. Don't think you can trust in men to do this for you. You have to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We only know one source to go back to, the true Word, the renewed mind of Christ. And that is the Word of God. Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power hath granted, that's an important word there, hath, means that it has already. Seeing that His divine power has already granted unto us all things that pertain unto life. That's God's life, Zoe life. He's already given us everything to have God's life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. Knowledge of Him. Now, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. If you put the Word in your heart, you will have faith. If you don't desire the Word, and your flesh doesn't desire the Word, because the Word is a cross, the Lord expects you to obey the Word. And when you obey the Word, the old man dies. So, many times your flesh could give you many, many excuses for not spending time in the Word. For not joining the marriage feast when other people are feasting upon the Word. Forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is. I mean, we come together to feast on the Word, to feast on the revelations that the Lord has given us, to feast on our testimonies, to feast on the wonderful things the Lord's doing among us, the gifts that God is pouring out through each and every one of us, right? That's why we come together. If you don't have anybody around you that are the fivefold ministry, guess where you can find it? Right in the Word. Spend time with the Lord. So through this knowledge, we're able to partake of the things that God has given us. His divine power has already granted us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge, through His knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, He said. Whereby He has granted unto us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. The promises give us access to the divine nature. And who is He talking to? Christians. Well, I thought all I had to do, David, was accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Well, that's because you believe men. There is no such thing as that in the Word. Some people desire the divine nature. They're not satisfied until they receive God's divine nature. And it's a progressive thing called sanctification, that we're receiving His divine nature and getting free of our old nature. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to get rid of the garbage, the wrong thinking, the wrong speaking. Those things that loose the devil and the curse upon us. And notice, if you become partakers of the divine nature, you're escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now you see, the preachers say, a lot of them say, this is not possible. Escape from the corruption that's in the world by lust. You're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. They lie. That's the Antichrist gospel. So, we take these promises, we believe them, and we act upon them, because faith without works is dead. We act upon them, and through this we receive God's divine nature. In other words, we bear the fruit of the Word. We escape lust. Everybody wants a shortcut. Some people, they just want you to cast the demons out of them, and that's good, but hey, if you don't escape the lust, they'll be right back. You need to stand on God's promises and fight the good fight of the faith. Otherwise, the devil has a right to you. He has a legal right. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. So this is what we have to offer to God here. We add on our part diligence in the faith that He has given to us. All have not faith, that's true. But to each man that is called of the Lord, he's been given the measure of faith, the Bible says. So, for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. And the comma shouldn't be behind diligence. That was a translator's error. because there wasn't no punctuation. But this is the thing that we have to bring forth is the faith and do something with it. All diligence in your faith, supply virtue. So in your faith, as we've said before, in your faith is your access to everything. You have access into this grace wherein you stand, Paul said. Your faith gives you that access to all of God's grace. You believe His promises, you get them. It's that simple. You need to know what they are. You need to remember them because you need them to partake of His divine nature. If you're not partaking of His divine nature, you're not bearing fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, you're going to be cast forth into outer darkness. Those trees that didn't bear fruit, they cut them down, they threw them in the fire. In your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge. And I've pointed out before, because of the understanding of a good translation, we see that each one of these attributes of Christ or each one of these fruits of the Word are in the previous one. And they're all in faith because faith gives you access to all of this. Faith in the promises gives you the divine nature. He is just breaking the divine nature down into little bits and pieces here so you can understand it. But your faith in the promises gives you His divine nature. Without it, you don't have the fruit of Jesus Christ. And in your knowledge, self-control. Remember that? Knowledge, the spoken word of knowledge, James chapter 3, turns about the body. You speak God's word, you can control your body. But you need to confess that you have that authority. And in your self-control, patience, remember, if you're patient, you're lacking in nothing, James chapter 1 says. He meant patient in your faith. If you're patient in your faith, you will lack in nothing. And in your patience, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Well, amen. Ain't God good? He is so good. For if these things are yours and abound, these attributes of Christ, if these things are yours and abound, they make you not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they would give you more knowledge. If you walk in the light that you have, God puts more light in front of you. People want more light, more light, more light. More light makes you more responsible. If you haven't walked in the light that you have, more light would just condemn you more. Let God give the light. Always seek for the light, but always seek to walk in the light that you do have. If you're not doing that, don't expect Him to give you more. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and what? A light unto my path. So it shows you where you stand, but you need to walk in that light so that it keeps stretching out before you. It keeps stretching out before you. Like a lamp, right? And in this way, we come into more and more fruit. And of course, we've only been given a certain amount of time to bear fruit. We have a race to win against time. Run with patience the race is set before us. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and run with patience the race. Looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith, right? So, it's a necessity that you don't rest from this work of faith, so that you, by the time you're through, have borne the fruit of Jesus Christ. It's a necessity. I remember a dream that Mary had about this sister. They were both running around a track, and the sister saw a shade tree and wanted to go sit down under the shade tree. And Mary told her, "Oh, you can't do that. We're running a race here. You don't have time to do that." It's so true, saints. We don't have time to sit down under the shade tree. We're running a race against time. Redeem the time, you're told. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're not doing other things like providing for your family, doing things. But in everything you're doing, you're being tested, and you need to be bearing the fruit of the Word, which is things that you speak out of your mouth, things that you do with your hands, things that you do with your feet, things that you do. The bearing of the fruit of the Word of God, right? You have to keep putting it in there to feed your spiritual man. Your spiritual man lives on the Word of God. He dies without it. Like a baby in the womb. If you don't feed that baby, it dies. So, if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near. They're nearsighted. They only see what's under their nose. But we have to see the end from the beginning. We are far-sighted. We claim that which is beyond our grasp, beyond our reach. We claim it as ours. Because it's not beyond the Lord's reach. So, they lack these things. They're blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Have you forgotten that the Lord cleansed you of all of your sin? Have you forgotten that he said in Romans chapter 6, "Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God," which means consider it done. Now that's far-sighted, right? Consider it already done. Consider that you have arrived, right? Seeing the end from the beginning. Jesus said, "All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them already, and you shall have them." So, have you forgotten that you were cleansed of your sins? Have you forgotten that through the reconciliation, Jesus gave you his righteousness? He hath granted unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that through these things you can become partakers of the divine nature. Have you forgotten that faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen? Have you forgotten that you're to claim something and believe you've received it? Like Paul, who said, "It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me." That was a word of faith. He knew the reconciliation had already provided him these things. And he also said in Philippians chapter 3 that, "Not that I've already attained or am already made perfect, but I press forward towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He wasn't saying that he had arrived, but he was saying he received these things by faith. So, glory be to God. You need to put our trust in the Lord. So, if you've forgotten that you were cleansed of your sins, that you were given Christ's life, if you've forgotten this, then you lack these things. You see what I'm saying? "Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence There's that again, giving diligence. Give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. Are you called? Have you been invited to partake of the benefits of Christ? Are you obeying that calling? Are you coming? If not, your election is not sure either. Because many are called, but few are chosen. Election is the word chosen. Eklektos, chosen. Make your calling and election sure. Give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? If you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I thought I already entered the kingdom. Yeah. Well, you did, but you haven't seen all of it. And we do have to enter it here on earth. He sends forth his angels to gather his elect from one end of earth to the other. From the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. See, so earth, heaven starts here and it goes to there. And we enter into the kingdom here. And if we don't enter into the kingdom, and the kingdom is where Jesus is king and where God rules over us, that's what the kingdom is. If you don't enter into the kingdom because you don't submit to God as Lord, then you can't go to heaven. Because the only place you can enter the kingdom is here. And he said, for thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you are practicing these attributes of Christ, when you are walking in the Spirit, walking in the steps of Jesus, who is the Word of God, you are entering the kingdom of God. If you walk after the mind of the flesh, the natural mind, always agreeing with the world and the things that you see, you're not entering into the kingdom, nor are you taking up your calling, because you're called to partake of the benefits of the kingdom of God. You're called to walk in a different kingdom than this world. The word calling is inviting. You've invited. You've been invited by God to walk in His kingdom and to partake of the benefits of His kingdom. And many don't take up their calling and many don't bear the fruit of these things because they believe they got everything they ever got when they got saved. That's what they were told. You've got all you're going to get. Well, notice that we're supposed to be diligent in our faith to go after these things. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Notice, we're supposed to use the benefits of the promises of God to go after these things. Are these things important? If not, you're not even going to the marriage feast. You might have all the excuses that all the other people had for not showing up. But Jesus was angry with them. And he told his servants to go invite someone else. These men will not partake in my feast. We are entering the kingdom. You know, James chapter 1 says in verse 19, you know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And why is this? Because you're going to be held accountable in the day of judgment for every idle word. Might as well slow down, give some thought, be quick to hear, and slow to speak, and especially slow to wrath. Because in wrath is judgment, unforgiveness, criticism, all these things for which we receive no forgiveness from God. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, and if you, let me say this, if you believe the gospel, if you believe the precious and exceeding great promises that he spoke about a little earlier here in 2 Peter, you can do this. It will be your joy to do this. Remember when I came to the Lord, I had a gift to just sit down and read the Bible and study the Bible. I was so hungry. Don't know where it came from, because the only hunger I had was to please my flesh and do all the things that I enjoyed in the world. I was just full of the world and full of the love of the world and the things of the world. And they had me, I was excited to run after the world. But suddenly, I had this gift to desire God, and all this stuff sat there rusting. It was just a mighty miracle, like God will do for all of us, really. So I had this desire to run after God, to find out about God. I'd been lied to about God all of my life, because I had been forced in this particular religion, which really did not value the Bible. And so I didn't know any of these things about God. And I'll guarantee there's a lot of people out there that they proclaim Christ. They may have received a new spirit, but they don't have this value in them of the Word of God, the precious promises that through these you're a partaker in the divine nature. They don't understand that the reason you got a new spirit is so you could have a new soul, a new mind, will, and emotions. They don't know that Peter said that your soul is born again. Not just your spirit, but your soul is born again through your obedience to the truth. And so, when you believe these promises, you are able to walk away from that filthiness and the overflowing of wickedness. I was shocked. That stuff was falling off of me like water off a duck's back. And all I was doing was hungering for God, reading the Word. I didn't even have any guidance from anybody who was supposed to know the Word, thank God. I was just reading it, and God was guiding me, and God was speaking to me, although at that time I didn't recognize it, but He was. And stuff was falling off of me. I think I'd been about a month or 2 months into this thing, and I remembered I had a whole lid of marijuana up in the cupboard, and I hadn't even touched it. That was a miracle. And I'd been a drink or two, and I wasn't touching that. That was a miracle. Suddenly I realized, hey, I'm not cussing anymore. That's a miracle. Just for hungering after God. Just hungering after God, you know. And ask God to give you that hunger to run after Him. And receive with meekness the implanted or ingrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Not just your spirit, but your souls. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Many people like to come and listen to the Word, and they enjoy listening to the Word. They just don't enjoy doing it. If you don't put it into action, it's going to be uprooted. It's going to be gone. You either act on it or it will be gone. There will be no fruit. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. Now we know we've got to look and see Jesus in the mirror. That's the gospel. With an unveiled face, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. But somebody that's a hearer of the word and not a doer, the only thing he sees in the mirror is his natural face. There's no faith there. You're not reaching out for Christ. for he beholdeth himself and goeth away straightway, forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgets it. You've wasted your time. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Amen. Faith without works is dead. So act on your faith. Act on your faith. Ask God for everything. Ask Him to give you a desire to sit down and study the Word. Ask Him to remove the distractions. Ask Him. Love after Him. Seek after Him. Amen.